Sunday morning series in the book of Genesis. We'll be back in that series in April, but I couldn't help but be burdened for what North Woodlawn Baptist Church is doing for missions and how that in 2024 we can do more. We can do more. And perhaps many of you like me, my wife kind of thinks I'm a hoarder, and so I don't think so. I just think that things that people give me have emotional value, like papers that my boys gave me when they were little. I still have those, and she doesn't. She's not in here, so I can't be too ornery to her because she can't throw a songbook at me or anything. She thinks I'm a little bit of a hoarder, and so sometimes she'll go through when I'm gone, or maybe I'm gone for a weekend or something, and she'll clean out my stuff. And, oh, did you want to keep that? It's already gone. Thank you, dear. I love you, too. Well, I'm sure you and I, we all have those things that mean much to us. And I mentioned my heritage a little bit. One of my heroes in my life was my grandfather. He was in ministry for over 60 years. He was one of those preachers that, you know, when it came time to retire, he retired and went to the mission field. You know, it was that kind of a retirement. And just one of my heroes. I'd ask him a lot of questions, and he influenced me as a preacher very much in my early life. And when he passed away, I was at my mother's house, and I would go visit her often before he passed away. And one of the things that I saw on his desk was his Bible. And so when they asked me to preach, and it was a tremendous honor, I was one of the preachers that got to preach at his funeral, I took his Bible. And I said from the pulpit, I said, I've got it, and you can't have it back. I told him this is something that I wanted. So, and of course, and this isn't the one he'd had for his entire life for those 60 years of ministry, but it was his, right? You get the idea. And I'm sure that you have things like that have been passed along or passed down as a godly heritage or a family heritage. And this morning, I'd like to look at something that Jesus passed down to us this morning. And so if you would, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, would you please stand as we read, beginning in Acts chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." And we just got barely into verse number 3, and we find places where, as a child of God, we ought to say amen. Because the author of the book of Acts here, Luke, has said he died, but we saw him alive. Man, that means something to us this morning. "By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Verse 8 will be the focus of our message this morning. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This morning, I'd like to preach on a message that I've taken the title from something that my grandpa Moeller, that my pastor grandpa, would say all the time. It wasn't original with him. But as a little boy, he was one of the first that I saw. And back then, you know, they didn't have fancy banners or things like that. I don't even think laminating was invented at that point. I'm just kidding. But I just remember seeing it on like 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. And whenever missions would come around, he had this saying that he would say, and that was posted all around the church building where we would attend church. And it was this thing, the main thing, keeping the main thing. The main thing. Heavenly Father, would you be with the few moments that we spend around your word? Encourage and challenge, convict, even as you have me as I studied for this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. As I mentioned, I don't believe it was original with my grandfather, and I know it's been used over and over in the years since then, but I want to remind us as a child of God that something has been passed down to us from this day that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, even before then, but something has been passed down to us. And as a child of God, we get to be part of the greatest work, the greatest mission that this world has ever seen. No greater work has ever been done than sharing the gospel to the lost and the dying in our world today. There's nothing more important than sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The work that began over 2,000 years ago continues today. And the need to tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has not diminished at all. In fact, the need has increased, as we heard this morning in Sunday school. And if you're out in the streets of Derby, Kansas, or Wichita, Kansas, or Hayesville, Kansas, or Mulvane, Kansas, or wherever you're at, you'll find everybody in the Midwest is a Christian. Right? Or they think they are. They think they are. What they really have is religion. What they really have is a few traditions. What they really need is a relationship. What they really need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't believe that as a nation that we're moving any more closer to God. I don't believe for an instant in our world as a whole that the need for the gospel is decreasing at all. I believe that if anything else, in this day in human history, the need of the gospel is the greatest it's ever been. Because it was just as great yesterday. And it was just as great when Jesus gave this commission to his apostles. In Acts chapter 1 here, it records the last meeting of our Lord with his disciples while he was on the earth before he ascended back to heaven. And before he leaves heaven, he commands and he commissions his followers to reach the world with his message. And it's one message. He reminds us of what should be the central focus of our ministry. He reminds them to keep the main thing, the main thing. And it's funny that as Jesus here is trying to direct his apostles into these final words that he's going to give them, they want to have a prophecy conference. You notice that? He said, tell us about the last days. Jesus said, it's not for you to know those times or the seasons. The Father knows those things. He said, here, disciples, here, followers of Jesus, here, child of God, here's what you need to do. You need to be faithful. You need to be obedient. You need to work. An old-time pastor years ago said, talking about the difference between chores and work, he said this. He said, chores are done in and around the house and are necessary to keep things running smoothly. He said, but chores don't make you a living. He says, what you do outside is what keeps things growing and going. He said, most of what we do around the church, he said, could be called chores. But, he said, doing God's work of reaching the lost, that's his work. That's the work. That's what keeps things going and growing. Today, nothing has changed from the time Jesus gave the apostles this challenge. And our duty, listen, our duty, ladies and gentlemen, is not to get caught up in future events or any other theological dispute that might distract us from the main thing. From the main thing. It would be easy. The devil would want to come in and he would want to distract us with a bunch of programs and with a bunch of extra biblical things that in themselves might not be sinful or wicked, but they might be distractions from our very purpose of being left in this world. Our duty isn't, listen, child of God, our duty in this world isn't, we weren't left here just to be busy doing religious stuff for the Lord. Our duty here as a child of God, our primary duty is what we find in Matthew chapter 5, is what we find in all throughout the book of Acts, is what we find all throughout the prison epistles, is that we are to be salt in a saltless world. We are to be light in a dark world. You know, there is a distinction from doing what you're supposed to be doing to just being busy. Right? this passage teaches us, I believe, what the main thing is that the church is to be about. And I've mentioned this. I said this the first Sunday I was the pastor of this church, five and a half years ago. We started mentioning the ministries that we wanted to be involved in and the policies that I, as the pastor, am allowed to put into place that cover every one of our ministries. And I said this, and I believe it to this day, if what we do doesn't draw men or point men to Jesus Christ, there is no point in doing it. As a church, we are literally spinning our wheels if we are doing things that do not draw or point men to Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we're here this morning to point men to Jesus Christ. Maybe you might say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Well, praise God. The purpose of this morning's message is to encourage you to tell somebody how you got saved. Perhaps you're here this morning, and oftentimes I've done this, and perhaps we come into this place heavy and hurting and needing healing of a spiritual kind. And I want to remind you this morning that only Jesus has the help and the hope that you need. Oh, church family, I want us to be a church where people would recognize you and I by our life and by our witness, and they would say that there is something different about them. And as they got to know you, they would understand what that difference is, because Jesus was not just in our heart. Jesus was not just in the Bible that sits on our coffee table, but Jesus was constantly on our lips. We couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. I remember the story, I've read it often, of William Carey. Before he went to India, he met with a Baptist society of missionaries, and he referred to India as a continent that had not at that point been reached in the 1800s. I can't remember exactly when it was. I apologize for that. He referred to India as a dark place, because the gospel had not had a great light there. And he said, as he addressed this Baptist society, a missionary society, he says, I will go down into the dark places. I will go down into the pits. I will go down into that darkness. He said, but you must hold the ropes. You must do your duty. In England was where he was referring to, but in America today, so that we can send missionaries, if we plan to send missionaries, great, praise God, that ought to be our goal, to see missionaries go and to be part of missionary projects around the world. But we have failed those missionaries, church family, if we do not hold the ropes, if we're not praying, if we're not giving. But we also must go. We also must go. Why do I say that this is the main thing? Well, I say it because here's Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1. He'd been crucified and he'd resurrected from the dead, and he's about to ascend back into heaven. And he could have talked about anything in the world. He knew everything. But look, this ought to, I hope, get seared into our minds. Jesus, who was the Word, and the Word who was with God, and the Word who was God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who it was that is saying this morning. The most important thing, and the last thing he would leave his disciples and his followers was with, is be witnesses of him. To go with the gospel. Listen, not to begrudge anything else that's going on this morning, but he didn't say, start more homeless shelters. Listen, not to begrudge any of that. He didn't say, start more opportunities to feed the poor, although there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they don't take away from the main thing. No, Jesus knew the hurt and the hopelessness and the helplessness of man. He knew the one answer for it all was Jesus. He knew it. And so here in his infinite wisdom, he tells his disciples before he goes back to heaven, and us, by implication, as his disciples, as they've received this perfectly pure, preserved Word of God, as it has been passed down from generation to generation, as it has been cared for and loved and obeyed, just as it was told to these disciples, here on this day, it's important for us today. It's just as important for us today that we be about the main thing. The church today, I think, could learn this lesson. It ought to be as equally important to us. Why is it important to keep the main thing the main thing? Well, I think because of the pressing nature of our message. It ought to be the main thing because of the pressing nature of our message. You know, there are a lot of things in life that press us for time. I was looking back over my schedule, and I'm still that guy. I've got the day planner, and I write out the schedule for the week. And some of those weeks, I don't even like to turn the page because I don't even want to get there because I already know I've written 12 things, and I've written, you know, 8 days worth of things and 7 days worth of time, you know, that kind of a thing. There are a lot of things that are pressing, that are important, and that we might even deem as urgent. But Jesus, by his life, his living, his example, and his sacrifice for us, reminds us this morning, North Woodlawn Baptist Church, North Woodlawn Baptist Church, church member, saved person, he reminds us this morning of the pressing need of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How urgently our world needs to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message isn't about people or programs. It's about Jesus. I'm thankful for what we have. I'm thankful for the work that God is beginning to do here. But our activities and our programs aren't what save men's souls. The message is about Jesus. The message is about the gospel. The world needs Jesus. Luke here wasn't writing about his life experiences or his past or his upbringing or his education. No, Luke wrote about the Savior of the world. Luke knew that men and women need to hear about Jesus. He says, Jesus tells them, he says, you're witnesses unto me. Unto me, Jesus said. Jesus is the sole focus. That hasn't changed. We're to tell the world about Jesus. We're not here to try to impress the world or with our grasp of theology or with our programs or any of those things. Do you know that many people know theology but don't know Jesus? You know, there are a lot of people that know about, listen, there are a lot of people that know about the glory of heaven but aren't going there. You know, there are many people in churches, sitting in churches today. There are many people that are sitting in churches across this country and around this world today, but will hear one day, I never knew you. Our only mission, ladies and gentlemen, North Woodlawn Baptist Church, church family, honored guests this morning, is to tell people about Jesus. He's the only hope for this world. The message that we share, I hope we understand that we can be passionate about this message because it's a powerful message. This isn't a fable. This is not a fairy tale. It is the truth of the risen Savior. And I don't know, I've thought back on it a little bit this week. I can't tell you what I felt when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. When he revealed to me that I needed to be saved. I do know this, that I saw myself as lost. I do know this, that I knew I was condemned. I knew that I was in need of salvation. And based upon the clear teaching of the pastor that I had sat under and my grandfather growing up, based on the clear teaching and the Holy Spirit confirming and those things in my heart and life, I knew that the only way that I could have my sins taken care of was Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've seen and I know, I have friends whose lives have been gloriously changed, and they haven't been changed by Dr. Phil. They haven't been changed by Oprah. They haven't been changed by government programs. No, they were changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The world today needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep the main thing, because of the pressing nature of our message. There is nothing greater that we can do on this world than tell someone about how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We must keep the main thing, because of the pressing nature of our message, because we have a singular purpose. Because of the singular purpose, we have to guide us. It is a personal purpose. Jesus said, Ye shall receive power. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, there's a whole lot going on in our world today with the transgender and people wanting to know what they're here for and people wanting to know what have all of these questions and everything. As a child of God, I want you to understand that you have a purpose. Each and every one of us have a purpose. And it's the highest purpose, I think, that any person can receive. He says we're called to be his witnesses. And we like that, I think. We talk about going out witnessing and soul winning. But do you understand, if you look in your Bibles this morning, when Jesus said, "Ye shall be my witnesses," Jesus uses a specific word, and he uses the word on purpose when he says witnesses. The word Jesus used in the Greek is this word. It's the word martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. It's pronounced martus. And it's where we get our word for martyr. That's how serious Jesus took this witnessing thing. Do you know what martyrs did? They died with the gospel on their lips. Oh, come on. We know that, right? Listen, you weren't a martyr if at the last second you said, "Oh, no, never mind, I don't believe it." Right? What Jesus is telling us, first of all, is that there's no greater message that we can tell. And then he's telling us that the message is worth it all. I wonder how it would change our homes and our jobs and our communities in Derby, Kansas, if we lived as witnesses, as living martyrs for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why don't we keep the main thing the main thing? Well, because of the purpose that Jesus lays out, the singular purpose that he has to guide us. Jesus is calling us to tell others about Jesus. And there's not a bad time, there's not a bad place, there's not a wrong person you can take it to. Listen, one pastor from years gone by said to every true Christian, there are two things that may be said. He said, "You have a need of Christ, or Christ has a need of you," he said. Then he adds the thought, "The simple fact that a Christian is on earth and not in heaven is proof that there is something for him to do here. And if he is not doing it, the neglect either shows that he is not yet a Christian or that he is a Christian who grieves Christ." We have a singular purpose to guide us. We're responsible. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses." There isn't one of us here who can't be a witness, who can't let our light shine. And listen, we'll stand before the Lord one day, and there are no excuses that'll stand when we meet the Lord as to why we didn't fulfill the purpose that he left us here for. There's no job, there's no position, there's no promotion, there's no excuse that'll answer the question, "Why didn't you tell people about me?" There's no excuse that'll cut it. A lot of churches today are trying to offer a lot of different things. A lot of things, in fact, that the world does, hoping to bring in visitors. And I'm okay. Like I said, I'm okay with outreach programs, but there is a priority. But most often when we see other places doing a lot of big things to bring people in, and it's not to point people to Jesus. They might draw a crowd. They might provide entertainment, but there's no real witness. There's no real evangelism. Our purpose as a local New Testament church is for the souls of men. It's to point people to Jesus. It's to lift up the name of Jesus. It's a personal purpose. It's a practical purpose. It's a profound purpose. He listed here, he says, we can't just let our only responsibility be the foreign countries. I mean, it's easy to, listen, I understand it's easier to write a check and designate it for missions than it is to go out to your neighbor or to your coworker. It's easier. But Jesus, when he starts and he talks about in Judea and in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth, you know where they were when Jesus was talking to them about this? Jerusalem. He was saying as you get to the uttermost part of the earth, you start here at home. You start where you're at. It's almost as though he gives us a formula for missions. It starts in your Jerusalem. It starts in your Judea, it starts in Samaria, and then it extends to the uttermost part of the earth. That word witness, it comes from that Greek word, it means martyr. And what Jesus is reminding us of is that as long as we have breath in our bodies, we're to share the gospel with the lost world. And keeping the main thing is because of the pressing nature of our message, because of the singular purpose we have to guide us. And because, listen, thirdly this morning, is because the weight of eternal souls ought to galvanize us. The weight of eternal souls ought to galvanize us. I didn't say motivate. I didn't say move. I used the word galvanize on purpose. You know what that word galvanize means? It means to shock into action. It means to shock into action. It means to cause us to have such a burden. Listen. For the disciples here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, these were difficult times for Christians. Their lives were dominated either by Roman soldiers or by their own countrymen who had betrayed their own people for gain and for Roman acceptance. These that Jesus is talking to here were hopeful that Jesus would establish his kingdom. They were hopeful that they would remove them from Roman oppression. Their minds couldn't comprehend the need for anything but liberation. But Jesus wanted them to talk about, wasn't talking about physical liberation. He was talking about spiritual freedom. Spiritual liberation. We could think of the need and the eternal souls here locally. And when we study the earthly ministry of Jesus, it's quickly apparent that Jesus came to this earth for people. He came to minister to those who needed a Savior. He was willing to completely rearrange his schedule to reach people with the gospel. He went out of his way, if you remember, in John chapter 4 to talk to the woman at the well. In Luke chapter 19, he paused what he was doing and the entire procession that was following him to speak to and ultimately heal a man named Bartimaeus who had been blind. Jesus structured his life around reaching people. And we can learn that lesson from Jesus. Our mission field is anywhere that lost people are. Anywhere that lost people are. Most of us will never go to the uttermost part of the earth, but we can go with our prayers, we can go with our giving, we can go with our faithfulness. We might never go to the uttermost part of the earth, but we can serve in our Jerusalem. There's a responsibility locally. There's a responsibility internationally. Notice, and I've kind of jumped all over my notes this morning, but he said under the uttermost part of the earth. It doesn't remove our responsibility from the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to be witnesses. We're to be witnesses. And if we can't go to the uttermost parts of the earth, we can go here. If we can't go to the uttermost parts of the earth, we can pray for those who go. We can send those to go. We can support those that go. We can give to those that go. Listen, folks, I read this week, and one of the many convicting things that spoke to my heart this week is this. It said, if we really believe that people are going to hell without Jesus, and if we really believe the gospel is for all men, then why aren't we doing more to get the gospel to them? He went on to say, could it be that we really don't believe everything we claim to believe? Could it be we've forgotten to keep the main thing the main thing? The message this morning, the message of the gospel isn't reserved just for those who meet our expectations, just for those who meet our standards. It isn't reserved for just those in our comfort zone. No, we ladies and gentlemen, we have access to a whosoever gospel. The Bible still says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, keeping the main thing, it's because of the pressing nature of our message, because of the singular purpose that God has given to guide us. It's because the weight of eternal souls ought to galvanize, embolden us. And then fourthly this morning, it's because we have God's power to embolden us. He says to receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner once said, we're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it. He said, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. I like that. Let's just blow up and burn out for Jesus. And God's work requires God's power. A familiar passage, perhaps, for most of us is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You notice there in that passage, I think the verse that scares us the most is that verse 19 where he says, go, and we're terrified because going means I have to talk to strangers. I have to talk to other people. I have to talk to people that might slam their doors and might turn away from me. But often, believers, we have a hard time with that verse because we've forgotten verse 18 and we've forgotten verse 20. You notice that command go is based on that significant statement in verse number 18 where Jesus says, all power is given unto me. Christ says there that he has all power. And the word that Jesus used for power and its definition refer not only to power in the sense of might, but also power in the sense of authority. And before Jesus Christ gives you and I the command to go, he says, I have all might and all authority. And then if you look at the end of verse number 20, and he says, and I'm going with you. When we determine to go, it's amazing to think that we go with the assurance of the presence and the power of God behind us, with the presence of the Spirit of God going before us. But listen to this, when we don't go, we're going against that authority. We're going against that command. We have a grave responsibility this morning, church family. What a joy, what a tremendous thought it is to be a part of Worldwide Missions, and I love it. I love Worldwide Missions. I hope you do as well. I hope we look forward to investing in Worldwide Missions this new year. But we have a grave responsibility to those missionaries that we send our support to, that we hold the ropes here, that we keep the main thing the main thing. Look, in the next few verses in Acts chapter number 1, we would find that these same disciples were hiding in the upper room, that they were afraid. They were afraid that what had happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. But you know what? Those same Jews that hid in the upper room would become bold witnesses for the Lord. Do you want to know what made the difference? It wasn't their eloquence. It wasn't their ability to speak. It wasn't the delivery of their message that made the difference. It was the power of God in their lives. Look in verse number 14. You're going to think it looks silly at first. He said, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Well, they were just praying. I mean, when we're in a great need, we pray, right? No, I believe these folks began a prayer meeting that lasted all throughout the book of Acts. Look, if you would, if you turn just a few pages to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31, they're having another prayer meeting there. Sometimes it's easy to discount the power of prayer and the necessity of prayer, but look at what it says in verse number 31 of Acts chapter 4. It says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Not because of who they were and not because of the prayers that they prayed, but because of who they prayed to. They prayed to a powerful God. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? A result of their praying and the power of God and the filling of the Holy Ghost, it says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. Where did that power come from? Well, it came from the fact that they were saved, and they were not just indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got all of the Holy Spirit we will ever need. All we have to do is let him be in charge. Let him fill up our lives. It came from the fact that these men and women were prayed up, and they were cleaned up before God. It came from the fact that they were united in purpose. They were united in their message. And the thrilling thing is as we think and as we pray about partnering with the McCollums and the Hendrixes, that same power goes with us. We want to send you over there with that same power, but we want that power here. We want that same power here. We desperately need God's power on our lives. We desperately need the power of God in this place. And how does that happen? Well, it happens when we get our hearts right with God. We need to stop looking at others. Oh, this message is for them. This message is for young people. This message is for the pastor. This message is for the staff. We don't have one. This message is for this person or that person. No, child of God. There was not a distinction made when Jesus gave the Great Commission. It is for you just as much as it is for me. How important is this mission to us? How important is being a witness? Jesus called it a living martyr. How important is world missions to us this morning? Is it enough for us to do something about it? How important is keeping what Jesus considered the main thing, the main thing? Listen, what are we willing to change? What are we willing to sacrifice in our life so that we can be more effective witness? We can be more effective for missions. What are you willing to deal with to be filled with the Spirit, to remove and to replace so that you can be a bold witness today? Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would remind you of all four of these points. The message that you need to hear today is the fact that you are lost without Jesus Christ. You are headed for eternal hell without Jesus Christ. But you don't have to be. Jesus is still the way. He is still the truth. He is still the life. He is still the answer for mankind for their sin. I wonder if we were to ask ourselves this question. How long has it been since you handed someone a tract? How long has it been since we told somebody about Jesus? How long has it been since we held the ropes for our mission? One of the main things the devil's trying to do is to distract the church from its main mission. Its main mission. This is the hour, Northwood on Baptist Church, guests, believers, to recapture our mission. This is where the main thing needs to become the main thing again. It's time to deal with those personal issues, sins, the strife, whatever it is, the bitterness in our heart. It's time to deal with our sin so that God might use us. Listen, I believe in the local New Testament church. I believe that Jesus believed in the local New Testament church, or else he wouldn't have said that he gave himself for it, that he shed his blood for it. I believe it's important to be part of a local New Testament church. I believe that it's important to be faithful to a local New Testament church. And I believe in the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm confident in this local church's ability to change our world. I want the world to know through our life and through our witness, those folks that go to North Woodland Baptist Church, they know they're a Christian. They know that you know Jesus. Why? Because we can't help but tell people about it. We can't help but tell people about it. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And help me this morning, church family. Would you help me by recommitting to keeping the main thing the main thing? Whatever that is in your life or mine, however the Lord would want to speak to your life and mine, as far as keeping the main thing the main thing, we can all pray. All of us got a little to give. Will you go? Will you just tell somebody about Jesus? Will you invite somebody to church? Hey, if you just invite them to come here, I'll tell them for you. Will you be part of it? Oh, it's wonderful. One of my favorite months of the year, Missions Month. We get to recommit to our missions and our heart and our passion for missions. Maybe tonight, maybe this morning, you'd say, the passion has gone out. You're not a witness like what Jesus defined a witness. A witness willing to go with your dying breath to tell others about Jesus. Won't you come and maybe recommit? Ask the Lord to rekindle that fire in your heart this morning for missions. Heavenly Father, would you be with the few moments we spend in invitation? Would you be with the few moments that we spend examining our hearts honestly before you this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this message about missions this morning, it's not about your money.